I love this topic. This topic is a very personal topic to me. I was not raised in this perspective. This was not clearly communicated to me. So I have had to wrestle a lot of this out. I've had to wrestle a lot of these verses out. The verses that you just went through, I have spent hours and hours and hours trying to understand and grasp and embrace what God has called us to in these areas. So it's kind of just a real personal journey for me to walk through this. But I want to start from a spot of, from the beginning, God had a plan for wifehood and motherhood. We're going to take a journey through the pages of the Bible to discover what God's design for these roles is and how understanding and embracing it can bring us closer to God. Okay, so understanding and embracing what God has here can bring us closer to God, not closer to people, but closer to God and understanding his heart. Biblical wifehood and motherhood are topics that are deeply rooted in the scriptures, and they're central to the faith of his followers. I want to just acknowledge that all of us are coming at this. Actually, I think you gals are being very brave this weekend. We have covered a lot of heart stuff, a lot of things that we're going to have to go home and work through. We're going to have to go home and think about. And God is doing that work. We're already processing those things. This talk, it's not going to be how to be a good mom or how to be a good wife. It's going to be the heart of a mother and the heart of a wife. Because if we can get the heart part down, if we can figure out the heart part, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, but from the overflow of the heart, from that faith spot, we respond and we are obedient in what he calls us to. So we have to come at this from kind of the heart level. But I just acknowledge that if I could go around and interview you each, it would be a fascinating couple of hours just to hear your hearts and what's your perspective? What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? What would you be excited about in these things? All of those questions, we could just go around and have a variety of a good conversation there. But I want to start with just thinking about this. God sets all of us in families. That is his design from the beginning. We know that he chose which family we would be born into, how many siblings we would each have, who those particular people would be, who our particular parents would be. All of this comes from God's wisdom and his providence. And we know from scripture that God brings us into a church family too. So his picture is in relationship, which we've already talked about that, in a family relationship. And we're going to talk about Adam and Eve a little bit, but for us to live and be in relationship within a particular church family, not a perfect family, we all have our issues, everyone has their issues, but God says, this is my family and you are a child within my family. I am your father and I want you to live in relationship with my children, okay? So what do you believe and what the Bible says about wifehood and motherhood? So when you look at these verses, is this like news to you? Or is this like, nope, that's totally what I was thinking wifehood and motherhood is? What was your reaction to just the verses?
I think for me personally, it was fairly, okay, this is what I've seen modeled in the church.
Okay. So it wasn't like shock?
No.
Okay.
For me, I think it kind of put to words what I had somewhat like subconsciously thought of, but I never like actually sat down to think what motherhood entails.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So it puts kind of words to something. Okay. Okay. Any other reactions?
I felt like motherhood ones in some way. Like I've seen them or even heard them a lot of times, but then in 1 Corinthians 11, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like,
yeah. And I won't tell you what that means, but we'll talk about that. Yeah. 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 That's a fascinating one. Just sitting that one a while is pretty fascinating. Okay. Any other reaction? Overall, would anybody say this set of verses is hard? Would anybody say that? You can just give me a wink. Okay. All right. So, does God have something to say about these things? He absolutely does. We want his leading. We don't want to manipulate a situation because of our desire to be married and to take matters into our own hands. We want God's leading. And so it is good for you guys to sit in this spot where you're at right now in your season of life and carefully consider these things. Okay, this is perfect for you guys. This is a blessing for you guys to just hear a little bit about the heart of a wife and the heart of a mom from your spot, because you actually are a little bit, if I'm talking to a mom or a wife, they're already in it. they're in that relationship. They're already they have context to that. And sometimes it's harder to talk to them a little bit because they're already hurt by their husband or they're already struggling with being a mom or whatever. So they already have these struggles. But for you guys, you're sitting in this spot where it's like, I can kind of just listen. I can just kind of take this, I don't mean objectively, but unguarded, I guess, a little bit. Like, I don't have a pretense to walk into this yet. I feel like I'm walking a bit of a tightrope with this one. I'm sucking on a cough drop. Okay. Being a wife and being a mother is a noble desire. Okay. But I do not want to stir your heart unnecessarily. Right? Okay. So that's a bit of a tightrope. I want to boldly speak God's word. Okay. And help you develop convictions in these areas. But I don't want this to be what this conference is all about. Okay, so when we were planning this conference, we were thinking about you guys as singles, and there was a part of me, it's like, well, maybe we shouldn't even talk about it. It's like, no, the scripture's super clear about this, and we want to build convictions based on the word about this. So this is important to talk about, even though you guys don't know what your future is and what the Lord has for you. Again, look for the heart in the matter, not the do's and don'ts. While wifehood and motherhood may not be everything, which it isn't, it's definitely not insignificant either, okay? So point number one is God's paradigm comes from Genesis. And the three words, Malia and I had been praying about this conference. She prayed for me one day, and Malia used three words when she prayed with me. She prayed that it would be cohesive, memorable, and applicable. And I just locked into those words. I'm like, okay. You know, we were just praying on the phone, but she just prayed those three words. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to lock into those three words. That's what I'm going to pray for. Cohesive, memorable, and applicable. And Morgan was at her world doing her getting ready for the conference. And I was at my world doing my getting ready for the conference. And we talked a day before the conference. And we both got choked at how cohesive the Lord had made things, how cohesive our messages were. And not knowing, the only thing we knew was titles. So we knew the titles of who was going to do what, but we did not know what was going to be shared. So this is pretty cohesive because we're back to Genesis. We're back to the beginning, okay? God gave us his word. He didn't have to give us this information. He didn't owe it to us. Because he loved us and wanted us to know these things, he told us. And he told us exactly how much and what particular things that we need to know to live and to understand him and to see his heart. God laid out a structure in the design of creation, and we're going to look at that, okay? Our eternal connection for eternity, now and for eternity, to Christ is where we start from, that spot, that identity. Even as we're talking about wifehood and motherhood, we're starting from those identity statements that I already talked about, right, before. So we're starting from that connection to God, and we're going out from that, okay? We acknowledge God has created each one of us, either male or female. By embracing this aspect of our identity, we discover our relationship with him and we gain insight into his plan for us. Okay, your first blanks there. This is important. Our gender is from God and for God. Okay. A woman is a woman first for God, then for others, and perhaps for a husband one day. Okay. Likewise, manhood is to be lived out first for God, then for others, and perhaps one day for a wife. Okay. So our gender is from God and for God. We're living it out regardless of the roles we're in. And we talked about that in Moab. Biblical womanhood is not a role-based scenario. It's our identity from the creation. He also created this intricate, beautiful design between God and man and between man and woman. And it is beautiful. He laid the structure out before the fall of man. This is super important. He laid out the structure of a man and a woman in relationship, in marriage, before the fall happened. So it goes all the way to the end of Genesis, which we're going to talk about. And then the fall happens in Genesis 3, okay? So it's beautiful. In fact, Morgan and I had a conversation about 5 a.m. this morning talking about biblical womanhood. Because one of the things she shared last night, I had not really thought of, and I wasn't sure what I thought about it when she was saying that when he was talking about it is not good for the man to be alone. that he was talking about all men, which I agreed with that, appreciated that, that God designed us to be in relationship, but it was not in the marriage context. And it was kind of cool because I've always taken that in the marriage context, because right after that, so he creates woman. Okay. He creates woman. And then right after that, he brings the woman to the man. And then he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. They will no longer be two, but one. So it was really good, because I think for both of us, I'm like, man, I got to go home and think about that. Think about what I think about that. I just had always taken this in the context of a marriage, that verse, it is not good for the man to be alone. I understood that God designed him to be in relationship, but because in the next part, I took it in the context of a marriage, that I will make a helper suitable. And the word talks about that, that he will make a helper suitable. So this whole design of man and woman is perfect in the garden. It's before the fall. And is it on your sheet right there? Genesis 2:18. Okay, we're going to read it. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Okay. Now, in different translations, there are different words there. But one of the translations says, I will make a companion suitable for him. Okay. So there's different wording there. And you can look at all those different wordings. And that's kind of a fascinating thing to do. Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So there's some significance here about having the authority to name things. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't understand it any deeper than that. But he named the animals, and we're going to see that he names woman. He's granted some authority, responsibility in the naming of things. But that's as far as I got on that so far. Okay. And so the man gave the names to all the birds of the air and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable was helper. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And the very next thing he does is he brings her to the man. And the man responds and says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He names her. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Okay, so our name woman, what makes us a woman, we're called women because we were taken out of man. That is far deeper than I completely understand, but I understand that there is huge significance in that. There's huge significance, okay? I want to pull out a couple things here. What did God see that wasn't good? Okay, first, the creation of woman was a response to, and Morgan said this last night, and it's exactly in my notes, something was missing in the creation, right? Okay. And he responded to that, and he made a helper suitable. So there's something that he made there that was a need in Adam's life. Adam needed relationship, but he needed also a helper suitable. So our design as women, even outside of marriage, there is a design in us to be a helper, okay? And it kind of fascinates me, just the concept of in the very design of us. If you think about women are kind of inclined, we're actually good at multitasking, okay? Well, the best helper I want next to me is a woman that can multitask, right? Anybody that can multitask, I'm not even picky. Man that can multitask, woman, I don't care. We just got to get the job done. There's a whole bunch of things to get done. Okay, so I think that's significant. And then, of course, Morgan brought this out last night, that every other time he had said it is good, but this time he said it is very good. Number two, yet what were we women created to display in the world? This is different. We were created to display what Morgan talked about, to complete God's image. Okay. Man alone was not a complete picture of the Godhead. And so he made a woman and he brought them into relationship. God is relationship. The Trinity is relationship. And that relationship was an expression of the full Godhead. How did God choose to create woman? He could have created her any way he wanted. After all, he had created Adam out of the dust of the ground. He chose to create woman out of man. And we see a profound significance when Adam names her. Why are we called women? We're taken out of man. Okay, and we just have to sit in that Genesis stuff a little bit. We just have to sit in there. And I want to go home and sit in it longer and meditate on it and let it ruminate in my heart just to understand that and pray just that God would help me get a understanding of that. Okay, but this is not the whole story. It's not just that God saw that Adam needed to be in relationship with someone. He actually needed a particular relationship. A suitable helper was what he designed. So it wasn't like he could have made anything for a relationship. He could have made anyone for a relationship. But there was a design in what he made and he brought to her. Okay, and that's where we walk right into the marriage verses. For this reason, a man leaves his father and mother. They're united. And that's the rest of that story, okay? And we talked about that in Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image, in the image of God. Let us make him male and female. Let us make them. It is important for us to grasp that God knew that both male and female were both equally needed to display his image. They both stand in equal value, which again, Morgan had talked about that last night. Elizabeth Elliot, here's her quote. These two people together represent the image of God. One of them in a special way, the initiator, the other, the responder. Neither the one nor the other was adequate alone to bear the divine image. So we can see that God sets us all in relationship. That is his design from the beginning. Whether we are single or married, God made us relational beings to represent the Trinity here on this earth. And he set us in relationship with him too. And so today we're going to just look at two specific things here, but I want you to ask yourself just these questions. What do you believe is divine in the creation in reference to your own life? In other words, you can look at creation. What can you pull out of there for you, for who you are as you're living? So ask yourself, what is in the creation story that is for me and helps me understand myself? Because that's the work there is. We can get the story and we can be told the story, but what about it is for you? That's what you really want to know, okay? The first thing we're going to talk about is the sacred calling of wifehood. And I gave this 10 minutes, so I could talk about this for hours, but you get 10 minutes, okay? Saying two small words represents the course of your life. So you're going along in life, and there's two small words that change everything. Does anybody know what those words are? I do. I do. The moment you say I do, it changes everything. And I'm going to go through a story. This is me and my hubbaroonie. Oh, it gets cuter than this. This is August 11th. So 32 years ago, we were married up in the mountains west of Fort Collins up in Rift Canyon. Okay? And we were both, I think we were 25 at the time. Both of us were 25. The Lord blessed us with a son. Okay? That's little Blaze. He's the cutest baby in the world. Oh, I should get this recorded. He's the cutest baby in the world. And it was like the world stopped. We were just completely thrilled with this little boy. And it just turned our worlds, for both of us, it turned our worlds upside down. We just loved him so much. And we just were so desiring to follow the Lord and what God had. This was our first Sunday. Okay, our first Sunday going to church after I had delivered. And that was, isn't he cute? Just a button. The Lord grew our family. This is Malia in the red.
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah.
Malia. This is Jay-Z in the little green shorts. Isn't that cute? So the Lord grew our family. In 15 years, we had 8 kids. Okay, so we had 8 children in 15 years. The Lord watched over us. Our children grew. Now we have 6 adults and 2 teens are left. And a couple of years ago, I don't know what your faith camp was, but the year of faith camp, I was sad that year because my kids were growing up and they were leaving the house. And I remember talking to a gal and I'm like, this is so hard. The kids are growing up and they're leaving and my family is just dwindling. And I was in tears. And this sister came along. I know exactly who it was. And she said, oh, Kath, she goes, don't be crying. Wipe those tears. Your whole world is going to explode. Your family is just going to start expanding and it's going to be amazing. 2 years later, the Lord gave us a beautiful daughter-in-law. Some of you guys know her, Elizabeth, right? And so the little boy, the little baby, our first Sunday, and the Lord started expanding our world, okay? And the first thing I got was I got a beautiful, lovely daughter-in-law that many of you know and love. She's a sweetie. The next picture. The Lord expanded. Aww. my world was starting to just grow. My heart was starting to grow. People were being invited into my world. God was blessing. Twin granddaughters, little girls. But you guys can't leave right now because that would be completely rude, right? So I get to show you another picture of the grandbabies. That's this week, okay? And this is little Briella, and this is Addie. And Briella is named after the little sister that Blaze lost, Bria. So Briella, this is Briella and Addie, and they're about 16, 17 months old, and they are just stinking adorable. We have so much fun with them. They're so much fun. They live down in our world, and they go to our small church, and they're on our small group, and it's lovely. It's amazing. But I want you to look at this next picture. This next picture is equally important. This is 32 years of marriage. And there are two pictures on there that you haven't seen yet. Can anyone point out one picture? The ultrasound. Elizabeth is pregnant, and we're going to have more grandchildren. But there's another picture on there that you haven't seen yet. What's that?
The broken heart.
The broken heart. And in 32 years of marriage, there's been tears, there's been hard things, and we've lost children. We had 3 miscarriages, plus losing Bria, and it hasn't been perfect. There's been really hard moments, really hard times. And so in 32 years, God has been so faithful, right? And through all the first pictures, we went, oh, which rightfully so. They're beautiful. But this is also part of our story, is God allowing hard things and letting us walk through hard things, things that he wanted to accomplish good in. He's faithful. Is God good? Yes. Is God good to women? Yes. Is God good to Steve and I? He's been so faithful. And so good, even though some things have been very hard for us along the way too, okay? So that's just a little picture of the sacred call of motherhood. Now we're going to look at that verse. Kara, why don't you read that verse? 1 Corinthians 11.
Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God, since he, man, is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. In the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God.
That's a crazy passage, isn't it? That's a crazy passage, what that means. But here's where I want to start, because we're just talking about wifehood, but there is just a lot in there. But I want you to underline, the head of the woman is man. In God's design, he determined that there would be roles and that those roles would bring him good and bring him glory. Okay? And the head of the woman, so I can go back to Stephen, a picture of Stephen. Oh, I should have put a really nice picture of Stephen up there. But that is the head. That is my head. But we talked earlier today about entrusting ourselves to God, right? One of the ways that a woman entrusts herself to God is to come under the headship of a man that is not perfect, that has issues, that has struggles, that has fears, that doesn't always have quiet times, that doesn't have clarity from the word sometimes, that is tired, foggy headed, all of these things. The husband is human. Is that, you can write that down if you need to. The husband is human, okay? And when we entrust ourselves, we're not entrusting ourselves to the man, we're entrusting ourselves to God. And if we look at a verse that, that 1 Peter 3 that we were talking about earlier today, it says, "For this is the way that the holy women of the past put their hope in God. They were like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master." The holy women of the past were like Sarah. Catch the wording. Who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. And then it says the next line. Does anybody know what the next line is? "You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Isn't that good? Picture of womanhood right there. That whole picture of they put their hope in God and then they entrusted themselves to her husband. They obeyed the husband. The husband is the head. You can see that. God is the ultimate bringer of good. We know that we were made in his image and the creation. So he brings good into this relationship. But this relationship is two humans that have things going on in their hearts and stuff like that. So anyway, in Genesis, we know that that a man leaves his father and mother. So we're going to look at the heart of a wife, the heart of marriage. And I'm going to show you a couple of pictures. Okay, would you say this is a picture that is a good representation of a Christian marriage? Some people say yes in the audience, and some people say no. I see both. Look at it again. Is this a good representation of a Christian marriage? Okay, I'm going to go to the next one. Ready? I feel like I'm tricking you. I'm not trying to trick you. Okay, you'll get it once you see, okay? In fact, you'll be like, okay, Kath, you tricked me. But I wasn't trying to trick you, okay? Is this a picture of a Christian marriage? Some say yes. Some say no. Okay? I think that most of Christianity would say this is a good picture of marriage. They're united. They're going in the same direction. They're coursed together. They're walking together. They're going the same way, okay? Some people would say this is a good picture of marriage. At times, they're really connected. And there's some struggles there. That's normal, right? And then they connect again or whatever. There's moments of connection. But I feel like what God worked me through as I was working through this next picture, I feel like it's God's design for marriage. Okay? God's design for marriage is two worlds that become one. Philippians 2:2. This verse is not a marriage verse. This is written for the believers in the church, okay? And the believers in the church, this is what it says. It says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. So what God calls us to is he calls you and me to be like-minded, to have the same love, to be one in spirit and purpose, which is crazy in and of itself, right? How much more so marriage? How much more so when you entrust yourself under a head and you come under a head, you become one. And the word talks about that. You become one flesh, one in spirit, one in purpose. And so this, in my mind, in fact, I got this off of Google and I printed on my little printer and I went to Dollar Tree and I got a frame and it hangs in my bedroom. It hangs right as I walk out of the door of my bedroom to remind me, this is what I am pursuing. This is what God calls me to be united with Steve, not walk alongside Steve, not walk in unison with him and not hit moments of unity with him where, wow, last night we went on a date and we had a really good conversation and we're super united, but today we're doing our own thing. Not that, but this. This is where I feel like God wants me to live. And this is just my representation, but it just kind of represents what God called me to in marriage and what I feel like he gave me in the scripture. Okay. Now I'm going to give you three examples that capture the heart of wifehood and beautiful words and beautiful examples. Yet none of them are from the setting of marriage and they're all in the scriptures. Okay. So none of them are about husband and wife in the scriptures. But they all have a heart that I want to talk about. First, Jonathan and the armor bearer. You guys probably know this story. The armor bearer is the guy that carries the sword and carries his stuff for him. And in this story, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of these uncircumcised fellows. I want you to circle this word. Perhaps, that's all you need to circle. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. And then underline these words. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul. A couple of things I want you to recognize here. Okay, this is a beautiful picture of marriage. Because the word perhaps, how confident was Jonathan of what God was going to do? Meh, right? Right? And what are they talking about going and doing? Like, we could get killed, right? We could get our heads chopped off, right? He says, perhaps this is going to happen. What I see a lot of Christian wives is they're not okay with perhaps. They want firm, you better know what you're doing, you better have talked to God, and you better reassure me this is going to be safe and we're not going to have any hard. And yet I see here this picture that he was able to be honest and say, I don't know everything God's going to do. And then look at the armor bearer's heart there. Do all that you have in mind, Steve. I am with you heart and soul. That is the heart of a wife. That is a beautiful heart in my mind of what a wife is saying. Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul. And I feel like that's what God calls a wife to. When we sign up and he's our head and we're accomplishing things, we're coming alongside with him in that same heart. Let's look at Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. This is in the book of Ruth. But Ruth replied to Naomi, which is her mother-in-law. So that's this relationship. So the last one was man to man, or kind of like man to servant almost, or man to helper. This one is two women, Ruth and her mother-in-law. Okay. But Ruth replied to Naomi, her mother-in-law, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. That is the beautiful picture of a wife's heart. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you go, I will go. When you're signing up, if you sign up for marriage, that's what you're signing up for. In God's paradigm, that's what you're signing up for. Okay, you're signing up. We're locked. We're in this. I'm in this. I'm coming alongside you, okay? And coming alongside him. Now, some of you guys might be bristling already about this, like, now, wait a second. What about my people? And right? And we could talk about that. We can even talk about that in the questions, okay? But remember, there is a head and there is a helper. Remember that God calls someone to lead and someone to follow in his paradigm of this marriage, okay, of a marriage. Let's look at the last one. This is between two men. Okay, two men, they had this kind of close relationship. 1 Samuel 3:18. Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own. That is a beautiful picture of wifehood. That your soul would be knit together. That there would be a oneness in that. And that you would love your husband as your own. So, I guess the question, ask yourself, are you willing to sign up for this if God calls you into marriage? Because this is his picture of marriage. This is what he calls you to at this level. Okay? And you might be sitting there going, but I love my mom and dad. Think about it carefully. Okay? But I want, you know, whatever you're thinking, you know, whatever is hard here, but I have things I want to accomplish. Consider all of this very carefully, but I feel like God gave me certain gifts and talents that I want to make sure they're expressed. Consider all of this very carefully, because this is the heart of wifehood, according to God, how I see it. I could be wrong, but that's how I see it. Okay, number three, the sacred calling of motherhood. Okay, and if we were in a perfect world, if we had more time to talk, we would talk about following our husbands, submitting to our husbands, respecting our husbands. The word calls us to all those things too, okay? But we only have 10 minutes, and that was your 10. Okay, the sacred calling of motherhood, okay? In God's Genesis design, we can clearly see that God determined a woman to bring image bearers into the world, okay? So God made it that we would be the ones that would bring children to continue to display his image into the world, reflections of God, divine representatives of God. So there is a role here of motherhood that you step into. And of course, you never get any of that from the world. But you know, let's step back a minute. And why did God make husband and wife? What was the purpose in making husband and wife? What, besides, you know, he wanted to display himself, but there was more to this. And this is something you very clearly need to understand. Malachi 2:15. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? Why are they one? Answer. because he was seeking godly offspring. It's not someone to go to the movies with. It's not someone to go camping with, although it is that too, supposedly. It is because he was seeking godly offspring. That's amazing. That like rocked my world when I understood that. Why did God make them one? Because God's like, Steve and Kath, I'm making you guys one. And what I want to come out of your guys' home is I want godly offspring. That's my heart for you guys becoming one. That is crazy. You guys act like that's no big deal. That's huge. That's so big, okay? And then it says, he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your youth and do not break faith with the wife of your youth, okay? So here's your blanks. A mother is a discipler. A mother is a discipler, and her children are her number one disciples. Not other ladies, not other people in the church. Your number one disciples in God's paradigm are the children that he blesses in your marriage. And he says, this is where I want you to primarily pour out your heart, pour out your talents, pour out your energy, pour out your commitments, pour out your time in making disciples, in because I want godly offspring, and you're part of it, Kath. You and Steve together, you guys working together, you guys united down one track. And what my desire is to see godly offspring. Megan's sitting here expecting a baby, smiling like this is the best. And it is wonderful, okay? But it's so awesome. Just in 32 years of marriage, I want you to think about this. We've been parenting together for 29 of those years. In 32 years of marriage, we've been parenting together for 29. And it's interesting to me that nobody said to me, well, that's not really true, but nobody really said to me, do you think Steve's going to be a good dad? Like, have you really thought about that? Like, have you really looked at his character and thought about that? Lo and behold, praise the Lord, he is a good daddy. But how important that is. That's huge. So we're married 3 years where we go to the movies, we go out to eat, we have people over and play board games, blah, 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 blah. And then 29 years, boom. And we do all of this raising children together. And that's such a significant part of marriage, is raising children together. So when I was young, I thought, well, do we have the same interests? Do we like the same things? Do we think each other is funny? You know, stuff like that. I just thought more at that level, really. And I was raised in a church, but nobody told me any of this, right? Nobody told me that one of the biggest things that I needed to consider was raising kids with him. What was that going to be? That was amazing to me. All right. Okay. So let's look at what motherhood is not. This is what the world tells us that motherhood is. And I'm going to refute each of these. Okay. Motherhood is not just a picnic. Okay. The world says it's just fun. You go to play dates. You go to the zoo. You take pictures. You make sure you do everything fun. And I know mothers that this is their heart more than discipling their children. And they're Christian mothers. And they're just trying to have a sweet little memory all the time. It is more than this. Motherhood is a discipling. It's about discipling your children. It's not about a picnic. Motherhood is not just an interruption. If you become a mom, it's not like you have other more important things to do. In fact, you don't. Raising children, you're the discipler. God has put you in the home. He's asked you to impart. And we're going to talk about what to impart to the children. A lot of moms, a lot of Christian moms, this is how they feel about it, right? Okay. It's not a picnic. It's not just an interruption. It's not just a juggling act. It's far deeper than that. Look at this gal. She's modern. She's cool. I remember when I first found this picture, Zebby was pretty little. He's like, can we like paint in her tummy so that she can be more modest? And can we put like sleeves on her? He didn't like that picture ever. He was a little guy. But anyway, I've had this picture for years. But look at her. She's got her weight. She's exercising. She's cooking. She's reading a book. She's drinking a martini. She's talking on the phone. Is that a martini? Okay, you guys giggle. Maybe that wasn't a martini. Whatever that is. And she had her laptop. You know, she's doing the whole thing. But there's no significance here. In fact, look at her look toward that baby, which is kind of interesting. I don't know what that is. This is just off Google. I don't know what the, I don't know who made this, but I think it's kind of interesting. Okay. The modern mom, this is what they do. They just juggle it. They have them in the van. They're running around. There's no time in, there's no space carved out for discipling. God's paradigm is that there's space carved out where you are busy in your home. Titus 2 talks about that. Titus 2 talks about being busy in your home to disciple your children. Why? Because God made Steve and I one. What was he looking for? He was seeking godly offspring. That means that Kath needs to be in her home shaping a child. And this is the next picture, which is so beautiful. I wrote a book about motherhood. Don't buy it. Just stick to the Bible. But anyway, this is the cover of my book. I love this picture. It's just a beautiful picture of motherhood. This is what motherhood is. God entrusting you with a baby and saying, I want you to shape this baby. I want you to shape the next generation of believers. I want you to impart things to them. This is motherhood. In the midst of all the diapers, in the midst of all the nursing, we could talk about all those things, in the midst of potty training, in the midst of spanking, in the midst of homeschool, in the midst of public school, we can, all those things come along. This is the heart of a mom, right here. If you get this, the other things will happen. The other things will come along, okay? But this is the heart of a mom. A life that God has entrusted to you. But does he give us any further instruction on what he wants a mother to do? He actually does. He says, pass it on. The baton pass is what I call it. This is what we are supposed to be busy in our home doing. Proverbs 31:26. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And we're going to get to Proverbs 31. That's, I think, tomorrow, but we're going to get to that. But anyway, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue, okay? So right there, we're seeing that a mom is called. Her words and what she's teaching her child is what God's interested in. Proverbs 1:8 shows God's heart here. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Okay, so they're called to not forsake their mother's teaching, which means that the mother should be teaching, right? There should be something there that is sacred. There should be something there that she is imparting, that is wisdom, that's faithful instruction to her children, because they're called to not forsake it. It's like if all you've taught them is make sure you eat your peas, make sure you're healthy, make sure you get in bed on time, look both ways before you cross the street, do well in academics. Hey, don't forsake any of those solid teachings. That's not what he's talking about, right? What's he talking about? Next verse, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframes of your houses and on your gates. Ask yourself, is this what I am willing to give my life to? Because that's what motherhood is. According to God, what God calls you to in motherhood, that's exactly what it is. Your time and your attention goes to that. I want to look at that verse a little bit in Deuteronomy 6, okay? First of all, underline verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, okay? What's the first thing that needs to happen? He calls us first for it to be here and we're living it out, right? Before we pass it on, they need to be here. They need to be solid. They need to be intimate with us. Then he says, impress them on your children. And he said, all the time, right? When you lie down, when you get up, when you walk along the road, all the time, you're imparting what? Go back up in the verse. What are we imparting? It's in there. Loving the Lord, okay, or specifically, these commandments. Okay, these commandments is what we're imparting all the time. The ways of the Lord, the scripture, we're talking all the time. This is interesting because in our culture, there's a lot of things that talk about don't shove religion down their throats, right? Or, you know, we probably even met people that have been like, well, my parents shoved religion down my throat. Does this verse seem to be concerned about that? Not at all. Okay, so they're saying, I'm struggling now. My heart issue is because my parents shoved religion down my throat. That is not a biblical narrative of what is going on in that person's heart. Because God commands us, this is all the time. This is your heart. You're the mom. You're in the home. You're busy in the home. You're imparting these things. You're passing these things on. Okay, wifehood and motherhood, they will be your primary, if the Lord calls you into these things, they will be your primary serving in the Lord, at least in that season. Okay, so we've looked at what motherhood is, we've looked at what wifehood is, we've looked at the heart, which I hope you've captured what the heart is, because that's the most important thing. And you can ask all the questions. How's our box going? Do we have questions going? You guys throwing in questions? Okay, throw in questions, but there's a lot of things I was not able to cover here because of time that you're still going to want to know, and we could process those things. But that gives you just a little feel of God's design in wifehood and God's design in motherhood.